are back.
You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, it's Mike Gilletta.
What's up, buddy?
What's up? How you doing?
How you doing today?
Good. I'm doing all right. Now,
Getting cold, and I don't like it.
It is, and I love it.
It's now, cold.
Before we get into today's show, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Gilletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, LastWordOnSports.com, YouTube, and Spotify. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah,
so
you never
what
are.
Else is new?
So you can find us there and, you know, search You Would Think. We'll pop right up. And we're going to get into it. And I have a question for you.
All right. Right off the top.
I asked you this via text yesterday. How many games does this team need to win before people lay off the coach?
Okay, so I guess you're...
Now, don't just read your text back to
me. No, I'm not. So I guess you're going off of the, 4-0-1 in their last five?
I think it's 5-0-1 in the last six. They went 3-0-1 on the road trip, and then they beat Arizona, and they beat Chicago on Saturday.
That's right.
So and that was a shutout, by the way. That was a nice game.
Yeah, it was. And basically what I told you is, one, people aren't really going to make up, or people aren't going to change their minds and lay off the coach. Because people have already made up their minds.
Right, I understand.
And because we've seen it for 4 years now.
Right.
Where we've seen this team go on hot stretches and then go on completely cold stretches. So I think people have made up their mind because they've seen enough in 4 years. But people might lay off the coach a little bit if he starts beating some good competition.
Okay.
Like over this little streak, they've beaten Anaheim, LA, Arizona, and Chicago.
I don't believe any of those teams are currently in a playoff spot.
No, they aren't.
Now, this week...
So they have to beat good teams in order for teams to take that, or for people to take them seriously.
Right. Well, that challenge comes this week. Because this week, you have Florida on Tuesday night.
They stink.
Well, I think they're better than their record shows.
I mean, they're in last place.
Yes, but they're a better team than their record shows.
Yeah. Well, they're 5-5-3.
Okay.
So, right around 5.
Yeah, they started, I think, 0-2-2 or something like
something
that.
Like
so they
that,
started
yeah.
pretty bad.
Yeah.
They're coming back. They're coming on strong. Thursday night, you have the Devils.
Another team that's at the bottom.
It's a team you're going to be fighting with come division time.
Sure. They're 6-7-1, so another team last.
It's a team you're going to be fighting with in April. It's going to be, period.
Mm, sure.
And then on Saturday, you have Tampa Bay.
That's a test.
Right. So you kind of slowly ramp up this week, right? Florida rolls into New Jersey, rolls into the big test of the week is Saturday in Tampa.
Yeah.
Or against Tampa. I'm sorry. That game
is at home.
Yeah.
So... Tampa's 12-4-1. So,
right. So that's
they're gonna see that's a test.
So if the Flyers win all three games this week, if they move to 9-0-1 in their last 10, do you get a break?
People might start to give him a break.
Do you think Hackstall kind of comes off the public hot seat?
Maybe.
Because I don't know if he's in Hackstall's hot seat. Now I know he's in the fans.
Either.
I know he's in the fans' hot seat, and the media's starting to kind of pay attention to it a little bit. But I don't know if Ron Hextall considers,
especially with a guy like Quenneville getting fired.
Yeah, I know. And
so.
And we had a discussion in a group text with your dad about that. Your dad figured it out 3 days late that Quenneville got fired. and by then, I was already sick of the takes. That's why I kind of shut him down pretty quick.
I mean, Quenneville's much better coach than Hextall.
I disagree with that. And you know, Hextall. But I don't disagree with the fact that Joel Quenneville is probably better than him.
Quenneville's a Hall of Fame coach.
Well, I mean, if you're Joel Quenneville, you're making $6 million this year.
Yeah.
If you sign somewhere else, say it's Philadelphia, and they agree to pay you $3 million, you're still making $6 million. $3 million comes from Philly, $3 million comes from Chicago.
Right.
So you're getting paid that $6 million no matter what. Don't you want 8 months off?
Yeah, that's probably the route he's going to take is take the year off.
Right, and then at the end of the
year. And reevaluate in the summer when there's 5, 6, 7 teams coming after you.
At the end of the year, 5 or 6 teams fire their coach hoping they can get Quenneville.
Right.
So, regardless of, you know, what you know, if Dave Hextall gets fired, blah, blah, blah. Who says Joel Quenneville wants to coach right now?
Yeah.
And he's going to coach again, sure. But the guy's... What, in his 60s?
Is he? 50s
He's
or
been
60s,
in Chicago
yeah.
at least 10 years.
Right.
He's got to be in his late 50s at minimum.
Yeah.
And you've been coaching, NHL coaching, for a decade.
Yeah, but
24 hours a day,
right.
365 days a year for a decade. Don't you want 8 months off?
Yeah, no, I get that. But I just, the reason I would want Quenneville here is because I compare and this might be an off-base comparison, but I compare that 2010 Cup team, I think similarly to this Flyers team, in the sense that they had a Taves and Kane before their prime, before their big deals, you know, slot in. I mean, obviously to a lesser scale,
right.
Konechny and Patrick. Before they hit their prime.
Okay.
They obviously have a guy like Giroux, and they didn't really even have a Giroux. I mean, maybe Taves, but
Marian Hossa had a hell of a year.
He did have a hell of a year. Okay. Compare him to Voracek, right?
Right.
And then they had a younger Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook.
They weren't that young. They were young, but they were...
They were before their primes.
They were probably right around in their primes.
Okay. Ghost and Provorov, I think, compared to those two.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Ghost and Provorov, Keith and Seabrook. It's a valid comparison.
And then, I mean, they had a young...
I think they had Antti Raanta in that. Who was in that?
Wasn't it Corey Crawford?
I don't believe it was Corey Crawford. You can look that up and double check me.
Niemi, maybe?
It might have been Niemi. Regardless, how much better was Antti Niemi in 2010 than Brian Elliott is right now?
Right.
So what you're saying is the Flyers are going to win the Cup. That's what I'm hearing?
What you're hearing is they would be a better team with better coaching. I think Quenneville had a lot to do with that 2010 Blackhawks team.
Maybe.
That's why I would want him to coach his team. Well, listen, because I think they compare on paper very well. And listen, they also had to go against a Flyers team that had Michael Layton in net. Still not convinced that puck went in.
It didn't.
But yeah, I compare the team to that team. I mean, maybe that's an off-base comparison, but
right.
It's just something to consider. I can see
the parallels.
Yeah.
And I don't even think, like, I'm not bashing Quenneville at all. I think he's a very good coach. I would give him all the credit in the world. I don't know if he's a realistic option for the Flyers, because who says he wants to come here? Right? Who says he doesn't want to go to St. Louis? Or
I think this is a more attractive job than St. Louis, but
I mean,
and I've heard some things online saying, fire Lappy and hire him as an assistant coach. This way you have him at the end of the year.
That's
and
not
you would just,
happen.
You know, move him into the head coach. Well, first off, there's no way he's going to want an assistant coaching job. There's just none.
No.
So that I thought that was laughable in itself.
I have a feeling you're going to see Joel Quenneville take about 8 months off.
I agree with you.
I think he's going to take at least 3 or 4 months off. Now, if a team fires their coach in January, February and hires him, all right, that's fine. But we're 7 weeks from Christmas.
Right.
He probably wants to spend Christmas at home with the family.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have an outdoor game to prepare for because the Blackhawks have one every friggin' year. So.
That's true.
He might, right, every year. By the way, they unveiled the jerseys for the new one.
They're hideous.
They're boring.
They're boring.
They're boring.
The Boston one's brutal, too.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't wait until we see our jerseys.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get into that.
I don't know. So far, who is it now? Adidas? So far, they've been iffies on their,
I don't know, man.
Their outdoor jerseys.
I love all the alternates they put out this year, though. Pretty much all of them are insane.
I like which ones? Which ones do you like?
The Ducks is really good.
Okay, yeah, that one's fair.
Arizona's really good.
That's more of a throwback. Well, but they both were.
Right.
They both were.
Yeah.
It's not like they got new material. They just recycled old material.
I'm going to qualify this one. I really dig the Hurricanes one, but
I don't like the logo. It's weird.
But I only like it as like a jersey a fan can wear with like a pair of jeans.
Right.
It looks weird with hockey jersey or with hockey shorts, hockey pants. It looks weird with a helmet on. But like in and of itself, as like a jersey you can pick up off the rack at, you know, Modell's, it's pretty dope.
Other than the weird two flagged logos.
No,
weird,
I dig it. It's dope.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I really do. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
There were a couple really good alternate jerseys.
Well, alternates are different. The outdoor ones haven't been great that they've put out.
No. Well, it's only those two, right, for this year?
Is this Adidas? No, Adidas is
the second year.
Yeah, so I don't remember the jerseys they put out last year.
Well, I also know that they were a little sketchy last year. They didn't put on any alternates last year.
Right.
So they've kind of been slowly ramping up the designs they're going for. So the outdoor games last year were kind of their first cracks at, you know, alternate jerseys.
Right.
So, and then this year they came in strong with, I think, 9 or 10 alternate jerseys for other teams, or more than that, maybe. And they all look really good. Like, pretty much all of them look insane.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. And now the Bruins and the Blackhawks have also played a ton of outdoor games.
Yeah.
So how much can you really innovate?
Good markets in a cold weather town.
But
so
how much
I get it.
How much can you really innovate with their 10th jersey.
Right, yeah, it's just the same sort. It's the same color scheme, so they're going to have to do so.
Whereas for the Flyers, this will be their third. Fourth.
Fourth, yeah.
They played the Rangers here.
They played Boston at
they
Fenway.
They played Boston and Fenway, and then they played in Pittsburgh 2 years ago. Right. So this will be the Flyers' fourth outdoor game.
Yeah.
This will be the Penguins' probably sixth or seventh. I know they've played a couple extras.
They played in Buffalo, yeah.
They played
Boston,
Washington.
Maybe Washington.
Anyway, like, there's more room to innovate.
I'm curious because this is either hit or miss. Do you like the Penguins one against the Sabres, the powder blue jersey?
On principle, I hate everything that the Pittsburgh Penguins do. So it's tough for me to answer that question.
So that's a yes. You like the actual jersey?
No.
Well,
no, because it's a Penguin. No.
Well, yeah, but
I hate,
like,
everything the Penguins do.
Take away the logo.
No, I hate everything the Penguins
okay.
do.
Okay, that's fine.
It kind of looks like Columbus's alternate.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? With the circle logo
blue,
with the cannon
yeah,
in the middle.
Yeah, I get you.
It's a lighter version of that.
Right.
I don't hate it, but I don't love the circle logo concept.
Right.
And that's what Pittsburgh did too.
Yeah.
And then the ones they wore for the stadium series were terrible.
Let's take
our nice white home jerseys and we're just gonna dunk them in a whole bunch of urine.
Yeah.
And just let them sit and soak and turn yellow. Yep. Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Okay. Anyway, we got off track here. Coaching.
Yeah.
So, something I told you that I was gonna do before the show. You and I had a discussion this week. Mostly on Twitter, about basically who the Flyers were beating and, you know,
lousy teams, yeah.
how they were beating them and whether the results mattered. And my argument was that it doesn't really matter how you win the game. All that matters is that you get the 2 points. And your argument?
In the grand scheme of things, I mean, I guess.
Right.
But went on like a game-to-game basis of like expectations, then yeah, I want to see how they won, or, you know, if they get dominated night in and night out but sneak out the victory. Like, you're not able to sustain that. Like, obviously, it's a big if they win the cup, right?
Right.
And they win it ugly, nobody's going to remember the way that they won the game.
Right.
They're just going to remember they won the cup. But I think you still need to see the ways that they're winning. And even losing, I mean, the late goals that they're giving up when they're up by a goal, I mean, that's brutal. I mean, I know people are happy they got a point against San Jose, but that should have been two.
But I would argue that they shouldn't have even had a lead against San Jose. You play that game.
It's true. They got dominated.
You play that game 100 times. San Jose probably wins 65 of them.
Yeah, and then they get dominated that game. So like I think it's. I don't know. Like, I understand 2 points technically is all that matters, but right. I think when you're judging a season and expectations and where you think this team should go, I think it's important to look at the way that it happens.
Right. No,
and I'm not going to break down, you know, Corsi or analytics or anything like that.
No.
I just watching the game, I want to see how they win, how they lose, how they look.
I think hockey fans tend to view the game on too small of a scale. And, like, yes, how they play in one individual game matters, but it only matters when it comes to getting the result. I don't care how the Flyers played on Saturday for 59 minutes as long as they scored more goals than the Blackhawks. Now, they played fairly well, and they kind of took Chicago to task, but I don't expect Chicago to be very good this year.
Right. And that's my other point is, like, just start playing good against good competition. Because the last 2 weeks, you've been playing dreadful teams.
Right. No, I understand. Who did the Flyers play on December 20th last year?
I have no idea. What kind of question is that?
Because they won the game 4-3 against Detroit.
Okay.
You don't remember that.
No.
But you remember that they got 2 points that helped them make the playoffs.
Sure, and what happened once they got to the playoffs?
Listen, I'm talking about the regular season, specifically about regular season results.
Irrelevant in the NHL.
I know it is, and that's the
half
point
the
I'm getting
make
to.
The playoffs.
Literally almost half the league, 16 of 31, soon to be 32 because, you know, Seattle's
right.
coming.
Yeah. But if...
Literally half the league almost makes the playoffs.
Right, yeah.
So...
But how they play on a game-to-game basis and the way that they look, the expectations are higher. Like, I knew that team was going to lose in the first round last year.
Okay.
Because they just didn't bring it game in, game out. This year, they're not going to win the cup.
But how
they're not even
going
to come close. They might miss the playoffs, and if they do make it, they're going to get bounced in the first round again.
Just how can you make that assessment in November? Because every year we see a team get hot in April and make a deep run.
Yeah, and the Flyers are going to lose 10 in a row eventually. Like, it's just a Dave Backstall thing.
Hopefully not
10,
but...
I mean, it's what they do year in, year out.
Okay, but if you watched how Vegas played last year, did you expect that team to reach the cup final?
I didn't expect them to reach the cup final.
I didn't expect them to reach the cup final until they literally beat Nashville in the second round.
But and that's only because they were an expansion team. Because if you watch their games... They play with structure. They dominated a lot of games. There wasn't a sloppy win, so to speak.
Sure.
We just didn't really give them the benefit of the doubt because they were an expansion team. That's the only reason why.
1 year ago today, November 2017, was Washington the best team in the league?
I mean, they were the best regular season team in the last few years.
No, they weren't. Nashville won the Presidents last year.
I mean, sure, but like overall speaking, I mean...
Okay. Was, you know, a year ago today were... Your top four, your final four, Vegas, Winnipeg, Washington, and Tampa. They were probably pretty close to the four best teams in the league.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, Vegas hit or miss. They were so young at that point that it was tough to tell. It's hard to make that kind of decision in November. And it's hard to look at one game in November and say, oh, that's it. They're not winning the cup.
It's not one game, though.
No, not necessarily
game to game basis. If they play four or five really, really strong games, they look really, really good. And then, oh, there's one sloppy game. That's different. It's every game, essentially. They're just winning against bad competition.
Well, what if, I mean, okay, you cannot say that this team is not winning the cup this year because so much can change. Now,
I'll bet it.
The trade deadline is February 25th, 28th, sometime in late February. Flyers can make trades. One of the trades they could make, I'm going to transition us over into our next topic here. One of the trades they could make is a trade for William Nylander.
Oh, we're back on this, huh?
Well, it's a subject we've mentioned a couple times, and it's now kind of hot seat time for Toronto.
Yeah, they have like three and a half weeks.
They have 19 days to sign or trade Nylander. Now, any team can talk to him because he's still an RFA. He's not Leafs property. I mean, he's Leafs rights, but any team can talk to him because he is an RFA.
Right.
So, I would hope that Toronto does the right thing and make sure that any team they trade him to, if they're going to trade him, has a deal in place already, right?
Yeah.
So they can trade him right up until December 1st.
Right.
There are some names out there. Elliot Friedman, hockey insider. He's the ultimate insider.
He's up there.
He's up there.
We got to go Bob McKenzie.
Well, or you just go with that Uber driver.
Or that.
He's the ultimate insider.
Have we talked about that yet?
I think we briefly talked about it last week.
I don't remember when that came out.
I think it had just happened.
Did it?
Okay. Anyway, the Senators are a tire fire.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman did a segment on NHL Network, or not NHL Network, Sportsnet in Canada. And I want to get your thoughts on this. He was grading potential trades. Fans sent in a whole bunch of trades, and he would give them a letter grade. The trade that was proposed, Wayne Simmonds and Shane Gostisbehere and a fourth. So
a
Simmonds,
fourth's irrelevant. But.
Simmonds, Ghost, and a fourth. For William Nylander, Jake Gardner, and a second.
They don't do that.
Now, what grade would you give that on a scale of A plus is most likely to happen, F minus is, you know, impossible?
A D minus.
Elliot Friedman gave that an A minus.
And what principle, though? I mean, Nylander.
Simmonds is an expiring forward.
Right. So they
Gardner is an expiring defenseman.
Okay.
Ghost is a talented young defenseman.
On a great team-friendly deal.
Yep. Nylander is a young, talented forward with no deal. And I think the picks... Now, he said he would change around the picks a little bit. He said that the Flyers would actually have to give up more in terms of picks than going down a fourth and coming back with a second. He said it would be something along the lines of the Flyers give a second and the Leafs give nothing. So Simmons goes in a second for Nylander and Gardner. Now, I think Gardner would be helpful to this team.
Yeah.
Not at the expense of Shane Gostisbehere, in my opinion.
I don't see the Leafs doing that.
Why not? I'm just curious.
Because, like you said, I mean, Simmons is an expiring deal, so they'll probably lose him at the end of the year. Because okay. I don't know if they can afford him. Because if they're not going to willing to pay Nylander $8 million, why would they pay Simmons $7 million, which is what he's going to want in the open market?
It's not about Simmons making $7 million. It's about Ghost making $4.5 million.
I mean, sure.
That deal is phenomenal, and they're going to have to ice a hockey team.
No, I get that.
So the big three in Toronto is Matthews, Marner, Nylander. If you swap Nylander out for Ghost, and Ghost is already on a deal at $4.5 million, that makes signing the other two a whole lot easier.
I mean, sure.
I think that's the big draw for Toronto. And also, you get a very talented Shane Gostisbehere until he's 30.
Of course, yeah.
And then, you get Simmons because you're kind of going for it. Tavares, Simmons, Matthews, Marner, Marlowe. That team's good, man.
Yeah, it is. I just don't know if they'd do that and send Gardner back.
I don't know if they would love the idea of sending Gardner back, but I think they also kind of know that he's going to go make $5 million on the open market. Maybe a little bit more. Jake Gardner is kind of a hot and cold player. He's the kind of player that Philadelphia is going to hate. Because it's very little in terms of consistency.
Right.
When he's good, he's very good. And when he's bad, he's very bad.
Right.
Kind of like a more polar Radko Gudas.
And then on top of that, they would be moving back 2 rounds, the Leafs. So I don't see right. that trade
now
happening.
How would you feel about it if it was Ghost, Simmons, and a second for Nylander and Gardner straight up? Because that's kind of what Friedman hinted at twisting it to.
I think it's close. I don't know. It's such a rough. Oh, God. I don't know.
No, I look
it's intriguing, that move.
All right, it's a weird spot because if you look at recent trades involving big name players, okay, Ottawa got a decent return for Carlson. Decent, not great.
It looks like right now they got a tremendous haul for Carlson.
Well, Carlson's always been hot and cold. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actual Norris Trophy Erik Karlsson.
Right. Well, I mean, they traded away Chris Tierney, Tierney on a very, very good San Jose team was stashed on the third or fourth line. He's playing top line minutes. He's over a point per game
He's
player.
He's great, so. Right. Okay, so anyway, they probably did okay with Karlsson. Probably not great, right?
They did bad with Hoffman.
Montreal did okay with Pacioretty. Again, not great. Ottawa did poorly with Hoffman.
Yeah.
San Jose did fine with Hoffman, flipping him to Florida. So if you look at the big names that have gotten traded recently, the return hasn't been insane.
Right.
Now, Nylander's a little different because he's 22 or whatever age he is, 21, 22, and has a ton of team control left. But at the same time, I don't think the return is going to be as massive as people are expecting. You're not going to get a roster player and a first-round pick and a good prospect.
Right. I think...
I just don't think it's going to be that.
I don't either because teams are going to realize how desperate Toronto is going to get the closer we get to December 1st.
Right.
So that probably... I don't think the price is going to go up as we get closer to December 1st. I think it'll go down, actually.
Okay.
So I agree with that assessment.
Well, and at any time, there is always the possibility that if teams don't want to... Like, if Nylander wants to play in the NHL this year, okay, if he decides, I want to play, I don't want to sit the year, I don't want to get to December 1st, you offer him $8 million a year, which is reportedly the number he wants.
Which I think is a lot, but that's just me.
Okay, fine. If you offer him $8 million to get him to leave Toronto,
yeah.
If you offer him $8 million flat, all you give up is a first, a second, and a third. And I know we've talked about the offer sheet, RFA culture in the NHL, and the fact that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's the other weird thing. But how has that not happened? Because that's less than what
if you get
their
down,
supposed asking price is.
Right. If you get down to November 28th, and he's got 3 days to kind of sign, why wouldn't you put that offer in if you're a team like Carolina?
Right, well, apparently he wants to stay in Toronto. But
well, I know he does.
I don't know how much I buy that.
Does he want to stay in Toronto or does he want to stay in the NHL?
Right. Like, I don't know if I buy he wants to stay in Toronto, because if he wants to stay in Toronto, he would have gotten a deal done by now.
I think it has to do more with term than anything. I think he wants a bridge deal. I think he wants 5 years. He wants the Tavares treatment. He wants to hit the open market at 27 and make $11 million.
I mean, fine.
Or
but...
13, 14 by then with the cap going up.
Right.
I think Toronto wants him at... They want the best of both worlds, right? They want an eight-year deal, and they want the price of a five-year deal.
Like, at this point, you're in Toronto. Just sign a $6.5 million deal. And then...
You're going to make a... crap load in
yeah would you know, rather would you rather make six in Toronto or would you rather make eight in Arizona?
I don't know.
I mean, you're gonna make that $2 million up in endorsements and signings and all that sort of stuff just because you're in Toronto. You're gonna make up that $2 million.
And if you help the Toronto Maple Leafs win the cup, your income doubles for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
because you're now a legend,
right,
at 23 years old. That being said, I wonder if teams have called him and offered to meet. I'm curious how strong his resolve is, because your three options basically are sign with Toronto. I'm sorry, it's more than three options. Okay, you can sign with Toronto. Toronto can trade you and you can sign with somebody else. You can sign with somebody else as an RFA, or you can sit the year.
Right, and then you're back here again next year.
Right, but next year he has arbitration rights.
I don't know if he does, though.
He does.
Is that true?
Yep. I'm reasonably positive.
I thought arbitration was all about service time, and if he sits out this year, doesn't have service time.
I don't believe that's the case, but I might be wrong. Do not quote me. Regardless, 19 days.
Yeah.
Toronto's got 3 weeks. It's time to get it or get off. It's time to make a decision. And
right, yeah.
I don't know. Like, say you're Carolina's GM. I know that would never happen. But, you know, just say you're the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
Toronto calls and says, hey, give us two firsts and a second. We'll give you Nylander. And you go, well, wait a second. I can just sign him for $8 million and only give up a first, a second, and a third.
Right.
Let's try to do that. You call Nylander.
Yeah,
right?
Seriously.
Right?
Yeah.
You can just call Nylander. If the price gets higher than RFA compensation, you just call Nylander and say, hey, listen, Toronto just called. They want to trade us your rights.
Is that what the compensation it would be?
Yes.
For a second and
yes.
Third?
Up until, I have it pulled up here, 8.118. Anything under 8.118 is a first, a second, and a third. If it goes over 8.118, it's two firsts, a second, and a third.
Okay.
So all you got to do is sign them for 8.1 or 8
right.
flat.
Right. Which allegedly is what he wants.
Done.
So
sold.
Right.
I would do that right now if I was Ron Hexel.
But again, he wants his cake and wants to eat it too, basically. Like he wants to stay in Toronto and still make $8 million. And
Toronto wants him to stay in Toronto. But they want to get him cheap.
Right.
They're at an impasse. And I don't think Nylander is being greedy. And I don't think the team is being stubborn. I think they're kind of just, they want different things.
Right. And Nylander's third or fourth on their totem pole in Toronto. So
yeah, he's got to be.
Yeah. So they're going to want to, I mean, they got to sign.
Marner and Matthews
I was drawing blanks. But yeah, they got to sign Marner and Matthews, who are better players than Nylander.
Yep.
And they believe that too. So they're going to want to sign those guys to the more expensive deals. Like, if you're going to sign Nylander to 8, I mean, what are you going to sign Marner for? 9? 9.5?
There's talk.
And then Matthews 10, 10.5, 11?
There's talk that Marner's getting 10 and Matthews is getting McDavid's deal, 12.5 or 12.25.
So that's $22 million just wrapped up in those two guys.
Mitch Marner has 20 points already.
Yeah. So
Austin Matthews has 16 and he's been out for a week and a half.
Right.
It's unreal.
It is. So, I mean,
does William Nylander make that team better? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, he makes it better.
Tyler Ennis is playing for that team.
Yeah.
William Nylander is better than Tyler Ennis.
Theoretically speaking, sure.
Firm, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's who would come out. That's why I'm
right
comparing it. So why not, man? Just sign the contract.
Right.
Anyway, we're not a Leafs podcast here, but the Flyers have been noted as a huge team of interest. Also noted have been the Carolina Hurricanes, who are a division rival.
Yeah, and they have a lot of defensive pieces that they can move.
They have a ton of defensemen that are, you know, they showed this summer that they're willing to move some of them when they landed Dougie Hamilton.
Right.
You know, they've shown that they're willing to move some pieces around. Brett Pesce is a name I'm hearing a lot as going the other way in a potential trade with Toronto.
Jacob Slavin.
I even heard Justin Falk.
Falk.
Just as kind of a one-year rental.
Right.
But if you could get,
and then,
like,
then they have young guys like Jake Bean, who I think is going to be really good.
Is Hayden Fleury still there?
He is. Yeah, I believe so.
Imagine if, like, Hayden Fleury and Justin Falk go to Toronto.
Right.
Justin Falk for now, Hayden Fleury for the future. That's a good return.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. Solid. I think Falk is a free agent after this year. Maybe next year. So, you know, you're not taking them forever. But, no, I think the Flyers deal would make a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
For both teams.
Yeah, it would.
Because I think Gardner is the kind of defenseman that this team needs. Because our best defenseman over 25 is, what, Radko Gudas?
Right. And Gardner's a little more... He's not like a stay-at-home defenseman, but he's a little more...
He's a little more defensively responsible.
Yeah, than Ghost is.
I agree.
So...
Ghost is more in the Carlson vein of he's a forward.
Right.
Well, I mean, we don't know, but there is a chance that the Flyers make a trade.
Yeah. And I don't know. I also don't know if they're really going to, because, I mean, we've seen the patience with Ron Hextall, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't really cost you much in terms of patience. You lose Ghost, but you get Nylander.
Right.
Right? So you're swapping. Actually, you're gaining a little bit in terms of age, because Nylander's 22. Gardner and Simmons are a wash because they're both around the same age and both expiring free agents.
Right.
You give up a second. Ghost and a second for Nylander is basically the deal. It's not awful, man.
It's not awful.
I've heard worse.
Yeah.
We've suggested worse on this show.
Yeah, well, apparently to the dopes on social media,
according
it's the
to
worst
the commenters.
The
you know what? I think we did a good job with that.
I think so, because
Flyers fans were pissed off,
right,
and Leafs fans were pissed off.
Yeah, Flyers fans were like, wow, that's too much. I would never do it. Leafs fans were like, yeah, you bum. We're not going to take
nothing,
those scrubs,
right,
for Nylander. So.
I don't think the Leafs fans know how good Philippe Myers is, because every single one of them mentioned, oh, that guy that Calgary passed on.
Well, I don't even think we know how good Phil Myers is.
You know what I mean, though. I
think we're higher on Phil Myers than we should be.
Maybe. But I think he makes the team next year.
Does he, though?
I think so. Okay,
he's struggling in the AHL.
Let's play fantasy camp here. Let's play NHL 19, be a GM. You make that trade. Simmons and Gardner, Ghost and Nylander, and a second goes. Let's say Gardner doesn't sign at the end of the year. Phil Myers is ready to come up, we think, we hope. And hopefully by then, Sam Marin is healthy and ready to come up.
Right.
We think, we hope.
Hopefully.
That improves your defense. If those players are what we think they are.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
I know.
The if factor. I mean,
Sam Marin
got drafted
to stay healthy.
What, 4 or 5 years ago?
2014, I believe.
Yeah. And he hasn't
had a healthy season.
No.
No, I agree.
Or has he yet to play more than, what, 10 games up with the most he played was, what, 2 games that one year?
Yeah, he does not have a ton of NHL experience.
No, so, and then Phil Myers has struggled heavily in the AHL right now. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
Either way, the ball's in Ron's court in terms of making an offer to Kyle Dubas. Imagine being Toronto's GM right now. Kyle Dubas, he's 32 years old. He's had the job for less than 6 months.
32 years old. What am I doing?
I know, right?
Doing this podcast.
He's had the job for about 6 months. He signed John Tavares, and now he might have to trade William Nylander.
To be fair, he didn't sign John Tavares. The
I know.
The logo
city
of
Toronto.
The Toronto Maple Leafs signed John
Tavares.
His
name is on the contract.
Right.
And now he might have to trade William Nylander. And he still has to sign Marner and Matthews.
Right.
Dude might have the toughest first year in history
for a
GM.
I don't know about the toughest, because they're good problems to have.
It's not sure. They're phenomenal problems to have.
Like, I think Hextall, say what you want about him and Hextall and whatever, but I think when he got here, he had a tough job because they were in cap purgatory, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
So he's done a good job.
And he's
job
done a phenomenal job. The Flyers have the fifth most cap space in the league.
So he had... a tough job to walk into. I don't know about Kyle Dubas having really a tough job, because I think they're good problems to have.
My only problem with the Flyers having a bunch of cap space is, why do you have all this cap space if you didn't buy out Yuri Laterra or Andrew McDonald?
Yeah.
Right?
Laterra actually hasn't looked terrible.
No, he hasn't.
He's looked fine.
He's been playing like he's got something in his system. I wonder what that could possibly be.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? Like that just disappeared.
Idea. It's now just a meme.
It disappeared.
People
yeah.
still talk about it, but yeah. I have no idea what the Finnish authorities say about Yuri Laterra's coke ring.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Anyway, I think we've kind of exhausted Flyers talk. They have three tough games this week: Florida, New Jersey, Tampa. If you win two out of three,
they're going to.
Right.
Florida and Jersey stinks.
Fine, I'm fine with that. You have to get to a very, very good spot where you expect to beat Tampa anyway, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
I don't think the Pittsburgh Penguins expect to beat Tampa.
Oh, they're struggling too.
I don't think the Washington Capitals, I don't think the Boston Bruins, I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs expect to beat Tampa.
Right. Nah, Tampa's damn good.
Okay. So, Flyers are currently, I know it's early, we're almost a quarter of the way through the season. They're second in the division.
Yeah.
Columbus is first. I don't expect that to last.
Nah, nobody does. Especially, they're first.
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Because Bob hasn't been playing well at all there.
No. He might lose that job.
Yeah, Corbett Sal has been playing well.
He might lose that job. And there's talk of trading Panarin.
Yeah.
Imagine being
Panarin
in first
or
place.
Bob, neither of them want to be there.
Right. Imagine being in first place and trading Panarin.
Yeah. That's a weird situation to be in.
If Bobrovsky hits the free agency market next year, how do you feel about signing into a two-year deal?
He wouldn't want that, I don't think.
No.
Okay. I think he'd want a longer term deal.
You're probably right, but I figured it would be nice.
And if I was a Flyer, I don't know if I'd give him a longer term deal.
No, I would give him 2 years.
I would just
to help bring Carter Hart along.
Right.
Because if you have Sergei Bobrovsky, it becomes really easy to be patient with Carter Hart.
Right.
If you have Brian Elliott, Michael Neuwirth,
right.
Cal Pickard, it's pretty tough to be patient when there's this, phenom sitting in the AHL.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll want a two-year deal. I think he'll want more. But I wouldn't be opposed to...
I would throw the offer in. Can't hurt.
I mean, sure, it can't hurt. But I wouldn't be opposed to them even trading for him as another goalie
here
in the crease.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, who knows with Elliott and Neuwirth,
Yeah. No,
their inability to stay on the ice.
Yeah, it's the question is, what would you give up for him, though? Especially
right,
since he's had such a tough year.
That's the question,
would you give up a guy like Phil Myers?
No, no.
Would you give up...
Would a third-round pick get it done? I don't know.
Probably not.
Second-round pick?
Maybe not.
I think it's close.
I think you're going to have to give up a body.
Do you think so? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe a Carson Twierynski type of guy.
Deal.
Right.
Andrew McDonald?
Yeah. I would give you the first and Andrew McDonald if it means getting Bobrovsky back. Regardless, I think we're going to transition out of the Flyers here. That was some good Flyers talk, man.
Yeah, for
sure. That was good. We talked about a lot. We kind of, we're going to transition over to some Eagles preview because we do have a big Eagles game tonight.
But real quick before that, let's go into the Sixers news.
But before that,
I didn't know you were
transitioning.
My bad. We were off page. We were off.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we're actually going to do a little bit more than 7 or 6 seconds. It's not going to be terribly long. The big news out of Philly on Saturday. Apparently, the Sixers are trading for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's a hell of a move. I know you don't really care.
I just don't follow the league, and it's tough for me to weigh in here. But the impression I've gotten is that Jimmy Butler is in the elite tier of players.
Yeah,
and that
he's probably a top 15 player in the league.
Right. I've gotten the impression that he's in that top tier of players, and you are now adding someone to legitimately try to make a championship run this year.
Yeah.
Not a playoff run.
No.
A title round.
Yeah. The NBA obviously is a very superstar driven league.
Yeah.
And
which is one of my issues with it,
by
the way.
Yeah. Well, there's no such thing as role players, right? Because if you're role players,
good. Wait a minute. Twitter is very upset that we traded away role players Robert Covington and Dario Saric.
That was my point. Is Covington and Saric, that's all they were, essentially. They're role players. Right. I mean, Saric has had a decent start to the season. But this is all Saric really is. And so if you get a chance to get a superstar, and I know Butler's had his run-ins with both teams he's been on, Minnesota and Chicago, I believe
the phrase attitude issues.
Yeah, but the problem is those two teams that he was on were garbage, and he got really annoyed with the people around him. that he just wants to win.
Do you want the
And that's
Phillies?
A perfect attitude to have here. Like, I'm going to be pissed off if I don't win. I want to win. And I think he's going to light the fuel to guys like Simmons and Embiid to want to win more.
Now, what did you say last week about signing Manny Machado? There's some potential attitude issues?
Yeah. I don't know if attitude's the right word with Manny Machado. I think it's a little different.
Hustle.
Yeah.
His hustle's down.
He's not Johnny Hustle.
Right. Now, and I'm genuinely asking because I don't necessarily know. If you think Manny Machado is a detriment to the Phillies clubhouse, not the on the field, but in the clubhouse, with his things like not running out ground balls, etc., do you think Jimmy Butler might be poisonous to the Sixers locker room with his attitude?
I think it's something that could happen.
Or do you think Joel Embiid just open hand slaps him whenever he gets out of line?
He might, because Embiid just doesn't care.
His hands are enormous.
And he just doesn't care.
Right, his hands are enormous. He will squash Jimmy Butler's head like a grape. Yeah.
And I just don't think he cares. But I think it was Simmons that was talking about the deal. And he said, yeah, he's a guy that just wants to win. And that's a perfect attitude to have here. Okay. That's all he wants to win is to win. He knew that the players in Minnesota just weren't good. So that's the issue that he had with them, is that like he would just get annoyed because they just weren't doing the stuff they were supposed to do.
Right. Well, and he is a free agent after this year.
They're expected to work.
It's expected that the Sixers are going to sign him long term.
Yeah, the max deal or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you have, you know, Simmons and Embiid.
Quote unquote big three, which is
for
essential,
the future, which is what you need in the NBA.
It's essential in the NBA.
And even then, you're probably going to run into Golden State in the finals and lose.
Yeah, probably.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Because Golden State's just ridiculous.
They don't have a big three, they have a big seven.
No, they score 100 points each half. It's insane.
Yeah. That goes back into my issues with the NBA, and we're not going to get into that.
No, we're not. But I agree with that.
Somebody,
especially
for the love of God, play defense.
No, especially this year, the scoring's been nuts. I mean, each team's scoring 130, 140, 150 points.
It's almost like it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Well, the problem is they're just realizing, hey, we have a better chance to win if we short more threes.
The league needs Ron Artest back.
Yeah, that's the last thing the league needs.
He played a lot of defense. He was great.
Yeah, or he'll smack somebody upside the head with a broom or a mop.
Hey, got the job done.
I mean, sure. But I've thought about this before.
Wants to win, Mike.
That's true.
That's not a problem, right, Mike?
That's true.
He just wants to win.
That's true. Fair point. But here's how to fix the NBA, and I said it before. Get rid of the 3-point line. Just do that, and you'll see more defense because you'll see more stuff inside.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to.
No, they won't. They'll add a 4-point line before they get rid of the three.
I know. And the funny thing is, then teams will just start shooting fours.
Yeah, we'll just see half-court shots.
Yep.
That's all the NBA will be.
Yep. Anyway, so.
But yeah, I think it's a good move because you need superstars in this league to compete with the higher team. Like, I don't think anybody, before the move, I don't think people thought they could have competed with Boston or Toronto in the East.
Okay.
And now I think people think they can.
The scuttlebutt is that now they can. That now
and it's not
now
a guarantee
a
to win, but they're a player, right?
No, of course not. And then even if you get there again, you're going to run into the Lakers. Well, maybe not the Lakers.
Yeah,
but
the Lakers, even with LeBron. The
Golden
Lakers
State or one of your, you know, Houston.
Houston's even struggling. They have to find out what they're doing with Kamar.
But the NBA, the NBA is just like the NHL. Half the league makes it to the playoffs.
That's a little different.
Half the league makes it, and once you're in, it doesn't matter.
Nah, it's different. Well, you're right. It doesn't matter once you're in because it's the same team.
Any team can.
Well, no, it's one team's going to blow through the rest.
Right. So anyway, that's it for our Sixers talk. We don't talk a ton of Sixers, so we're gonna move on from this before, you know, I start bashing.
Dom's going to like that.
Yeah, well. Anyway.
Cousin Dom, he's been on the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Eagles-Cowboys tonight.
Yeah, 8:30. I don't like 8:30 games.
Start strong. Who you got?
I don't like it. So we're just going to do this right off the top.
Oh, yeah, just right off the top.
I'll break it down a little bit for you first. The Cowboys have been struggling. They're almost a tire fire. You could call them dumpster fire, whatever other cliche you want to use. But
I don't think the Eagles score. I don't think the Cowboys score more than 10 points.
On the road, the Cowboys average 13 points a game.
Yeah, I don't think they score more than 10.
Okay.
I think the Eagles' defense scores more points than the Cowboys' offense.
A lot of people are saying
defense / special teams.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that it's a division game. They're usually always close.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the record doesn't really matter.
No,
it's kind of like Flyers Penguins,
right?
Phillies Braves,
right?
Sixers Celtics,
but I don't see a way in which this Eagles team doesn't blow out the Cowboys team tonight.
Right.
I just don't.
This game will be over by halftime.
Like, you want my prediction?
42-10, Birds.
Wow, that's even worse than where I was going.
Yeah.
31-13.
42-10.
42-10, that's a blowout.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Eagles defense slash special team scores, you know, at least two touchdowns.
I hope so, because this way I can go to sleep. I can go to sleep
at
halftime.
Exactly. Just go to bed at halftime. I'm fine with that. Everyone wakes up for work tomorrow.
I'm fine with that. And then who do they have next week? Is that the Redskins?
It might be.
Hold on. Yeah, so search that up, but I wasn't prepared to ask that question.
Yeah, I don't know why you asked it if you didn't have the answer.
Yeah, I didn't have the answer. Are you looking that up right now?
Yeah. Saints next week.
That's a tough matchup. That's a good. Is that a 1 o'clock game?
It got flexed to 4:25.
That's right. It did get flexed. That's right. That is the flex game.
And it's in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's gonna be a tough matchup.
And then you're home against
the Saints are the best team in the NFL. Wow. Right now.
And then you have three division games in a row: Giants in Philly, Skins in Philly, Cowboys again in Dallas.
Yes, that's a sweep.
You play the Cowboys twice in 5 weeks.
It's a sweep.
You got the Rams, Texans, Skins to close it out.
Yeah, I think they're gonna lose to the Saints. The Saints are damn good. They're the best team in the NFL right now, and they just went toe for toe with the other best team, the second best team in the Rams.
So you also think they're gonna lose to the Rams?
Where's that game?
In St. Louis, or in LA. Whatever. They're the St. Louis Rams.
I think it's gonna be close. They have a chance to lose that game too. Yeah.
So that puts them at 7 losses.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No.
But
no, it's not.
Your division sucks.
Exactly. The division is good. I mean,
you're
I know
probably
the
winning your division.
The Redskins are like, what, 4-5?
Something like that.
Right?
I can't expect that to stay on track.
Yeah, I don't think they're not a 500 ball team. They're just not. I mean,
who's even playing quarterback in Washington?
Is it Kirk Cousins?
Maybe. No, didn't
he just, I'm sorry. Case Keenum. Sorry. Yeah, I always get those two were like.
Yeah.
They're the same person.
Basically.
Keenum, both Cousins, Vikings. And Alex Smith are the same quarterback, all three of them. They're the same quarterback. I always get them confused.
All right. And on that note, you can give us your Eagles predictions tonight. You can find us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. Who wins? What's the score? We're going to try to get this show out before that game starts. You can find us there at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington, Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, Spotify, and YouTube. And on that note, go Birds. We're out of here. See you next week.